Good morning, everyone. Great to be able to worship together. I often laugh at the fact of coming together for what James describes as sung worship, which is absolutely true. But it's also wonderful when we see other gifts of worship and the gifts of the Spirit at work, tongues and interpretation, prophecy, and all sorts of things that God stirs in our hearts as we look to Him to bring Him the glory. So great to be able to worship together. Now, I'm paranoid about this thing not being level. There's something wrong with me, I know, but it annoys me when it's not level. So there it is. All nice and level now. I feel fine. I'm going to do a little recap. We're at episode 7, Created for Good Works. This is part of our series, Dwelling with Christ. And the first few episodes talked about call to be with Him. He dwells in us. We're able to walk and live together. Then we went and looked at we're a new creation. The old is gone, praise God. Then we learned that we live with no condemnation because of His grace. Amazing truths that we talk about all the time. We heard that we're united with Him through His resurrection. And that we are one in Christ. Christ Jesus brings us together as His church. And we remain in Him and in His love. Well, this week, I get to talk to you about being created for good works. So I'm going to read, but I was given one verse. Now, I think that's tough. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So I've expanded slightly from one verse, if that's okay. Now, everyone who's been preparing wonderfully for this sermon series is now thinking, no, we gave you one verse for a reason, so you wouldn't go off tangent. Anyway, I'm going to go for the start of Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. So it reads, oh my goodness, my eyesight's not great. I'm going to look this way. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's the bad news. But the good news is coming. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. We have all been saved and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amen. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And here's my one verse for the morning. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Father, as we read these incredible verses that are so real to us, Lord, they're everything to us. We realize just how amazing You are and how gracious You are, that You would bestow all these things upon us, Your children, that You would call us co-heirs with Christ. Oh, Lord, we feel so privileged again this morning as we're able to enter into Your presence because of Your Son, the precious blood of Jesus that avails for all. And Lord, we are so grateful to be together and to be able to talk and discuss and just see Your Scripture, Your truths shared to us this morning. And as James prayed, Lord, don't let it be limited to us, but may the children receive a blessing this morning, a blessing from You, Lord God, their Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what's your story? Now, I realize I could go around the room and ask you all what your story is, and I would genuinely love to hear all of your stories, but I suspect that might go on longer than our usual time together. But you know, sometimes people put you on the spot and say, well, what's your testimony? What's your story? And sometimes you've only got a minute to think of something quick, and you recall your life story and try and get all the good bits in, and then you forget, oh, I should have said this and I should have said that. Well, here we go. Here's a few lines from my life. I was born in the city of Bath in England. I was raised in a Christian family. I loved playing sports, still do. And found that I loved maths, still do. I became a Christian as a youngster, but built a relationship with Jesus while I was at university here in Cardiff. I went on to study to become an actuary before building a career in financial services. I joined and helped to develop a church here in Cardiff. And I found the love of my life. And together we have three daughters. Three beautiful daughters I've put down here, just in case they're listening. And I've grown to know the presence of God, and I live to serve him. That is my short story. And I'm sure you've all got your short stories. And afterwards, I'm going to ask a few of you, if I get a chance, I'd love to hear your short story. But I suspect that you've all picked up on one or two little things. One or two things might have stood out to you. For example, born in England. Maybe that's not going to go down too well here in Wales. Some of you might say, sports, maths, not great. I know Pete's with me on both sports and maths. So I've got one fan at least. Some of you may have picked up, became a Christian as a youngster, but developed a relationship, or built a relationship with Jesus at university. It took me a long time to really understand just what Jesus meant to me as an individual. But you know what? I guarantee if we go around the room and share our stories, we're all united by one thing, the love of Jesus. That's what's amazing. That's what draws us all to here together today. This very day, we're drawn into this room together because we are united in our love for Jesus and our desire to follow after him. So let's look at some of these verses then. So created for good works. It talks at the beginning about we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but he made us alive together in Christ. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. Wow! We get to be ambassadors, as if God were making his appeal through us. Now you think, and the first thing that comes to my mind is my work colleagues, my neighbors, my mates who aren't Christians. And I pray that I'd be a great ambassador. And you know what? We're going to look at being created in Christ Jesus for good works. And it's because of that love and that fire and excitement and enthusiasm for Christ that I pray that my good works would shine a good example of Jesus to friends and family members and people who are close who don't know Jesus. That's my prayer constantly, and I constantly have to go back to God and pray for forgiveness that I haven't done it in the way that he would want. I go after my own things, my own desires, but I want to be a good reflection. You know, I can think of moments in my life where people have said, that's a bit different, that's a bit odd. You go to church on a Sunday, or you don't do this, you don't do that. You've got a love for Christ. What does all this mean? And those moments are precious. We look back on them, we reflect on the fact that we've had moments to share our story. Never forget your story. It's so incredible. It's so significant. It's the most important part of your testimony, your story. I remember Steve Harris, a number of years ago, and talking about an example of a restaurant, you know, when that restaurant opens, and if you wouldn't go on somebody else's advice and then tell somebody else about the fact that, Margaret went to the restaurant on Friday, and she said it was great, so it must be fantastic, you should go along. No, you'd go and taste it yourself, wouldn't you? If someone's told you something's great, you'd go after it, you'd go and find it. Well, that's the same for us. I don't want to go after other people's testimonies. I want to be able to share my own testimony and talk about how God has impacted me and how I now have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? And I shared this with a few. We had a life group leaders meal on Friday night, which was fantastic to look back and reflect and look forward and think about what God's got for us to come. But I shared one thing that's been on my mind as I've heard it in a song recently. The biggest lie of this world is that this life is all that there is. The biggest lie of this world is that this life is all that there is. We can so easily get sucked into that ourselves as Christians, but for the world, there's no hope. Hopelessness. Tom Wright says that for many, all that God has to offer, it seems, is a kind of spiritual enhancement of ordinary life. A gentle enrichment of what's already there, rather than a radical rescue from imminent disaster. That's what we're faced with, brothers and sisters. Our lives here on earth are temporary, momentary, as we'll read later on. I've got a few more scriptures that I've built into my one scripture for the morning. But it's momentary, it's temporary. But we're going for a God who brings a radical rescue from imminent disaster. And we all know that without Jesus, we are doomed. We're in dreadful, dreadful, dire straits. We need Jesus, right? Amen. So, we were dead in trespasses and sin. No hope, no future. Living aimlessly and powerless to perform. Now, there's a story in Luke 7:36-50. And I was pondering reading it, and I am going to read it, and I'll tell you why, because we sung a song just at the end there, and there was a line in there that reflects well with this story. So bear with me if I can just read this few passages out to you, if that's okay. Luke 7, 36 says, "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'Is this man? If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner.' Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to tell you.' 'Teach me,' he said. 10 men owed, 2 men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now which one of them will love him more?' Simon replied, 'I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled.' 'You have judged correctly,' Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' The other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" I love these stories in the Bible that inspire us, don't they? They change our perspective on life. You know, that very situation, you can imagine being that Pharisee thinking this doesn't seem right, but yet this woman's given everything just to be with Jesus and to be able to honor him and find forgiveness from Jesus. A little bit like that simple story that the kids did for us last week when David led them and showed them the widow who gave everything, all that she had, everything to Jesus. I think these are wonderful, incredible stories that we all can learn from all the time. Now, I sometimes joke and I sometimes laugh, and Reese has laughed at me over the years about the fact that I sing the song, or one of the songs, that has the word vagabond in it. And Reese always laughs when I sing it, and probably not a true reflection of my outward life, but I'm no less of a sinner, right? We're all sinners. And we all come to Jesus with an absolute desperate need for an almighty Savior to save us from our sins. We're called not to judge others, as it says in Matthew 7, 1-2, but to help those in sin and restore them gently, as it says in Galatians 6, verse 1. You know, we all need rescue. And the danger of this world is thinking, I've got it made. I've got it my own way. I can do things my own way. I don't need rescuing. Wrong. We're all sinners. We all fall short. And we all need the glory of God. We all need Jesus to rescue us. Says in, as it says in Romans 3:23 there, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the free, I love that, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't have to pay for it. We just have to give everything we have, our lives, to him. And we have this free gift of eternal life. Now that's the doom and gloom. That's the trespasses and the sin. Let's go on to the next part, which is, he made us alive together with Christ. John 10, verse 10 says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. You know what? I choose to live my life according to this principle. I don't think we all go through struggles and difficulties, but we are not, as Christians, called to be all doom and gloom. As the ESV states, Jesus calls his followers not to a dour, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential, but to a rich, full, joyful life, one overflowing with meaningful activities under the personal favor and blessing of God, and in continual fellowship with his people. You know, Friday night was fun. Who'd have thought it? Christians having fun. It was fun to sit around a meal table, enjoy a bit of food, and chat and talk and discuss the past and think about the future, what God's doing. You know, we have a life, abundant life, shared together. The fellowship of being together is amazing. I know recently we've had a number of times together in different homes, different places, and it's been enjoyable, particularly after 2 years of not being together. You know, you realize just how valuable these moments are of being together, of being able to fellowship together. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 5 says, "For in him you have been enriched in every way." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone." Psalm 149 verse 4 says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people." Oh, I love that. I love the fact that the Lord is with us through these abundant life moments. He's there. He's with us. He takes pleasure in his people. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's an easy life as a Christian. Quite the opposite. There are struggles and difficulties, but we know that God is with us. We know that our brothers and sisters together in fellowship are with us. We're united together. And in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Wow, everywhere we go, I'm going away this week overseas to Spain. I know that the Spirit of God goes with me, dwells within me. Wherever I am, wherever I go, God is with me. Wherever we go, God is with you. And this has been a principle of our church from day one, to constantly remind us that God is with us, he's in us and he's for us. And we have a hope because of Jesus. He has made us alive together with Christ. We are his workmanship. God created you, as it says in Psalm 139, verse 13 to 14. "For you formed my inner parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I wonder if I could ask you a question this morning that you might ponder. What are you thankful for? Almost every single day in my job, I ask my team one thing every day that they're thankful for. And you're not allowed to say anything from the previous days. And you're not allowed to repeat what somebody else says. And every time I ask them, everyone goes, "Oh no, he's making me say one of these things." But you know what? In those 2 minutes a day, I get to learn so much. And we together get to share moments that I would never have known about. I get to know about people's lives outside of work. I get to know about their family situations. I get to know what's important to them. I get to hear about what brings them happiness. I get to understand them a little bit more every single day. And I tell you what, those 2 minutes of my day are the best 2 minutes of the day in work. Without a shadow of a doubt, they're the 2 minutes I most enjoy listening and hearing about why people are thankful. And I don't do it from a Christian context. I don't say anything about my belief. I just say we should be thankful. Being thankful is an important principle of our lives, right? I don't know when you come before God and wherever it may be, whether it's morning, noon or night, whatever time of day, whatever place you're at, wherever you are, whatever part of the week, how do you thank God? What do you thank him for? I mean, there are some very obvious things, right? We've all, I'm sure, been to some lovely places, and you know, even here around Wales, there's some amazing views and sights to behold of nature. I'm trying to think of the Simmons Yacht, when we've been up there and we look down at the Peregrine Falcons and that river. I always have that image in my mind, looking down at that river as it flows around the valleys. And I think, wow, what beauty that God has created. Lord, how easy it is to say thank you for what you've created. But there's so much that we should be thankful for, so much we should be grateful for. We should be a thankful, grateful people together because we are his workmanship. God is fully aware of your life and what's happening. It says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." You know, sometimes things can seem very different on the external, can't they? People can, and it's certainly the sense when you come on a Sunday morning that everyone feels, looks like everyone's got life sorted. We're all great. There's no problems. That's not right. We all know that there are things happening right now in each one of our lives. We're all praying for stuff. God looks at the heart. How much of that do we share? Do we reveal with others? I don't know. I'm as guilty as most. I like to bottle things up and keep things quiet and, you know, despite Becky's questioning of me and asking me, what's going on? Talk to me, tell me. That's who I am. That's my nature. I'm a someone who I'm reserved in that respect. I keep things to myself. I want to pray things through in my own time, my own way. But at times, I need to be able to say, I need help. I'm struggling with this, or I'm struggling with that. You know, we all go through those challenges. And we've got a wonderful church here ready to serve and to pray and to stand together before our Lord Jesus. God is fully aware of your life and what's happening. He looks at the heart. He understands what's going on. So we're his workmanship. Why? Well, here we go. This is the main part of the sermon here. So this is my one verse. Because good work springs forth. You know, I often, you can see through the New Testament, talk about good works versus faith. But obviously, if our faith is rooted and grounded in God, it springs forth good works to those around us. Now, I see this very much in a non-church capacity. We're all learning, right? We're all growing. We're all developing. We're all seeing new things all the time. And one thing I struggle with most is in a work environment, there are times when I feel like I'm bending over backwards to accommodate somebody or some situation, and I'm getting taken advantage of. Yeah, all been there? It doesn't have to be work. It could be friends, family, wherever you may be. You can feel like, man, someone's taking advantage of my goodwill and good nature. You know what? I'm encouraged because God sees our good works. God knows our heart. And our job is to serve him wholeheartedly with everything we have. And I try as far as I can to apply that principle in work. So sometimes when you do things, when you thank someone, I sent someone an email this week and just said, thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for coming up and coming to work every day. Thank you for trying your best, doing everything you possibly can to help out, and your attitude and your approach. Man, it was received incredibly well. I was encouraged by a mentor of mine to send people cards. Okay, that sort of thing doesn't happen this day and age, right? You either Slack someone, or you send them a message on Teams, or you send them a WhatsApp message, but you don't write. Well, guess what? The impact of a handwritten card is massive. And handwriting a card and sending it to someone's house, even bigger. Why have they done that? They've taken the time to sit down in a busy day, handwrite a card, stick it in an envelope, put a stamp on it. Remember when people used to do that? I know Christmas is coming up and we'll start doing that with cards, but you know, it's considered a strange thing to do in this day and age, because it'd be just so much easier. I just send them a quick WhatsApp message. Great to see you today, thanks. Well, that's nice too. I'm not suggesting it's not nice to send lovely messages on all forms of social media or various WhatsApp and text messages and so on. But what I am saying is that small little tokens of goodwill, gestures of goodwill, acts of kindness go a long, long way. And I think build bridges in people's heart and lives. And those bridges give you a moment, an opportunity to talk about Jesus when the time comes. And I certainly don't go into my office and take advantage of that, but I just want to show the love of Jesus to those around me as best I can. Don't always do it. And, you know, there's plenty of times when I come home from work and think, yeah, I've done everything but that today, and I really need to pray that God would give me the patience and the courage to try and show an act of goodwill tomorrow. But that's what we can do as brothers and sisters. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when our minds and our lives are consumed by heaven, everything on earth seems so temporary and distant. And it's not to the point that we forget and neglect what's going on here on earth, but I have a different perspective on showing kindness and good works, good deeds to those around me. My perspective is very different. Rather than a culture of, if I do something good for you, I expect something in return. Or if I buy you a coffee, I expect something in return. I have a group of people that like to go out for a drink after work on a Wednesday, and it's become a little thing where about seven or eight of some of my youngest people in the office, that they like to go out after work on a Wednesday, and I love seeing them. It energizes me. It inspires me and motivates them. They're all at the very start of their careers. They're all, they've all, like many of us, have gone through the last two or three years a bit uncertain, don't know what that does in terms of career and next steps and life and so on and so forth. And I get to spend no more than 1 hour with them on that Wednesday evening. From about 5:30 till 6:30, we go to the same place every week, and the guy behind the bar sees this coming in. And I see it as my opportunity to show an act of kindness, and every week I buy them a drink. And the impact that's had on them and me, I've learned so much about them. And I just listen to them. I want to know a bit about their stories. Find out a bit about them. Because I can't do that in an office environment. It's very difficult to do that sat around a table when you're working. But in that 1 hour, it's a small thing, right? It probably means nothing to them. And they probably think, why is James coming every week? But he's buying me a drink, so we'll let him come. I suspect that is the case. I have learned that I'm a good 20 years older than the average person in my team, which is slowing me down somewhat. But it's an opportunity, and we all have these small little opportunities to show good works, good deeds, kindness to those around us. And I truly believe it opens doors and opportunities to share a bit about why we would share those acts of kindness and love, and showing the love of Jesus to those around. Don't get distracted by your today that you forget your tomorrow. I heard that recently and thought, wow, that's amazing. We can be so distracted on what's going on around us that we forget our tomorrow. We have this hope, this certainty that one day we will be with him, and we will be with him face to face for eternity. This life is temporary, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 to 18, speaks of light and momentary troubles achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Wow, I love to spend a few moments contemplating eternity. Maybe that's the mathematician in me. You can't ever get to infinity, right? What's infinity plus one? Wow, that's a whole new realm of impossibilities. What's eternity? Forever. We will be forever worshiping our Savior. And I think of the party in heaven. I think of the angels worshiping. And it inspires me. It excites me. I've said on several occasions, I like to listen to Christian music, and I tend to listen to it in the car. I find that's the best time when I'm traveling around back and forth from work and home and so on. And again, this week I was contemplating sharing this Sunday morning and thinking about, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to realize that whether you say yes, no, or wait, that we'd be ready to worship you and to give you our all. God sees the bigger picture, right? We see small, tiny, temporary, momentary. But God knows. God knows our lives. And I was singing away in the car, and classic, coming into Cardiff. Traffic builds up. I'm bawling my eyes out, and all these cars are going past, thinking, what on earth is this guy? What's going on? I'm surprised no one pulled over to say, you're all right, mate. I'm trying to wipe tears away, thinking I'm getting closer to the office. I've got to stop crying. This isn't working. This isn't going to work for me. But it's when God affects you, when the Spirit of God is at work within you. In those moments of worship and praise, all you can do is turn to our Maker and open our hearts and lives up again. And that's all we do. That's my prayer this morning, that as we think about the fact that we are God's workmanship, we are created to worship him, to show good works, to show good deeds to those around him. God meets us in our hour of needs and helps us and lifts us up. So I've deliberately tried to be relatively quick this morning, because what's your story? Well, I gave you my very brief story at the beginning, but the reality is that's why my and our story is of sinners saved by grace, with a wonderful inheritance of an eternal life that leads us to worship and draws us to good deeds and works that bring glory to God. Can we stand and we're just going to pray? And I think we might go into a time of communion. But if we stand and pray, and maybe if Pete, if you want to come back up, we're going to just turn our attention, our eyes towards Jesus. I'm just going to pray that God would come and meet with us right now, and that by His Spirit, He'd be at work as we take communion. I mean, it's a great opportunity for us to take communion and just to wait on God. Wait upon Him. Hear what He has to say. Share your heart this morning. Share what's going on with God this morning. Tell Him how much you love Him. Say how thankful you are. Let's do that as we turn our eyes towards Jesus. Lord, we just are so amazed by Your love for us. We're so amazed, Lord, at what You've done for us. And we are so excited that, Lord, one day we will be with You. And Lord, no matter what's going on in our lives, and at times things can seem a bit up and down, unclear, uncertain, unsure, our certainty, our foundation is Jesus. And we come before You, Lord, and we just want to lay everything we have at the foot of Your cross and say that we desire You more than anything else in all this world. This world has nothing to offer, but You have everything to offer. And I pray right now You would help us, Lord, to be entirely focused upon Your love for us, Your compassion and grace for us. And Lord, if there are things in our hearts that are blocking us, barriers that are holding us back from You, Lord, would You break them this morning? Break down barriers, Lord, that we put up. Lord, if there are struggles this morning for my brothers and sisters here, would You help us to give them over to You this morning? Whatever struggles we may be facing, Lord, work struggles, friendship, relationship struggles, health struggles, Lord, financial struggles, whatever struggles, Lord, would You help us to lay them down at Your feet right now? To give them over to You, Lord Jesus. We give them to You. And we do that, Lord, because we know You hear our cry. We don't know how, we don't understand how it's even possible that You would hear each of our prayers this morning, that You would see each of our hearts this morning. Whether we're here in the building, whether we're watching online, You hear us, Lord. And by Your Spirit, You're waiting to intercede in our lives. And more than that, Lord, You're able to intercede in our lives. We hand over these struggles to You this morning, Lord God, and we say that we choose to follow You again. We choose to give You our all. As that woman did when she poured out that perfume and she washed Your feet, Lord Jesus. Let that be an inspiration to us this morning, that we want to give everything we have to chase after You, Lord Jesus. To follow after You, Lord Jesus. To be with You, Lord Jesus.